This is the KPFA Local Station Board Delegate Assembly, January 18th, 2025. And I call this meeting to order. Please send the ballots for the PMB director election. And the ballots for KPFA PMB director election have been sent, and delegates must submit their votes by the end of the meeting to be counted. A copy of the KPFA LSB standing rules and customs and two PMB resolutions have been sent with the minutes for the December 21st, 2024 meeting. The members of the KPFA LSB Ethics Task Force are Fred Dodsworth, Christina Huggins, Lily Kimura, Sherry Gendelman, Carol Wolfley. Secretary, will you please take the roll?
Rabab Abduhadi. Emma Auer.
Present.
Virginia Browning. Emma, present.
Virginia Browning. I have a cold, so I'm just trying to minimize how much I took.
Oh, Rabab is present?
Yes.
Okay. Virginia. I'm here. Yes, I'm here, Virginia.
Virginia, present. Donna Carter?
Present.
Donna, present. Michael Cheng?
Present.
Michael, present. Cheryl Davila? Cheryl Davila?
Present.
Cheryl, present. Fred Dodsworth?
Present.
Fred, present. Anthony Fest? Anthony Fest? Sherry Gendelman?
Present.
Sherry, present. Christina Huggins?
Present.
Christina, present. Zach Caldebeer?
Present.
Zach, present. Lily Kimura?
Present.
Lily, present. Carlos Cohan? Carlos Cohan?
Oh, Carlos is in a medical appointment, and he will be coming in later, Candace. Oh,
okay. Steve Kukala?
Present.
Steve, present. Philip Muldery?
Present.
Philip, present. Kathy Pico? Kathy Pico?
She's logged in.
Yeah, I thought I saw her. Allegra Thompson?
Present.
Allegra, present. Mark Van Landuit? Mark Van Landuit? Richard Walensky?
Here.
Richard here. Stan Woods?
Excuse me, I just got a message from Stan. This is Virginia. He said he's not being emailed and not being allowed in, so.
Candace, after you finish, Virginia, could you send him the link, please?
The link for the ballot. Oh, sure.
But the link for the meeting, please. That would be so helpful.
Okay, I think he has it. Thanks.
Carol Wolfley?
Carol here.
Carol present. Anthony Fest?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Anthony present. Carlos coming. Kathy Pico?
Present.
Kathy present. I don't know. Do I call myself Candace Schott? I'm present. Candace present. And Mark Van Landuit, did you say he was coming later, Carol?
I said Carlos is coming.
Carlos is coming later. Mark, are you here?
Okay. Did Stan get in? Does anybody know if Stan was able to get in? I don't see him here.
Do we know who listener Lee and Lynette?
No, they're visitors. They're
okay. Okay.
Listener number one, caller number one is usually Serene Roberts.
Okay. So should we come back to Carlos will be in later. Mark and Stan. Stan did, or did he get in?
Yeah, were you able to send Stan? I don't see Stan request for admit.
Stan, I just sent him the link.
Oh, thank you, Virginia. Okay.
So we have a quorum.
We have a quorum, and I would entertain a motion to approve, I would entertain a motion in case anyone is not able to attend for an excused absence if Mark is not able to make it or Carlos.
I make a motion to approve or to excuse the absent members.
Second.
Yeah, Mark Van Landuit and I'm assuming Stan is going to get in. Okay. And Carlos is going to get in. Okay, thank you. Those members are excused. I will now share with you that today's meeting includes reports to the Delegate Assembly from Antonio Ortiz, KPFA IGM, and I believe that Susan Young, the National Board Chair, and Stephanie Wells, the Pacific Executive Director, will also be joining us to give a report.
Carol, this is Lily Kimura.
Yes. You know,
when I got the link for the ballot, it has the I got a ballot that has your name for chair and vice chair. I didn't get the one for the election today, so I just wanted to let you know that. That's the one I got just now.
Okay, Peter.
Me too. Zach got the same thing.
Peter, can you check and see what ballot what was sent?
I didn't get anything.
Yeah, well, I'll check on that.
Yeah, I also did not get a ballot. This is Allegra Thompson. I did not get a ballot in the email just now.
Neither did I, Virginia here.
Christine okay. Huggins did not get a ballot either.
Neither did Sherry Gendelman.
Okay, I'm guessing that there's some problems with the ballot. Peter and Roxy, can you check on what ballot went out? And maybe there was a confusion and we sent the wrong.
You did.
Link.
Yeah, you I got did. The wrong one as well.
Yeah, the wrong link.
Apologies for that. We're going to send you out another message with the updated link in just a moment.
Thank you. All right, we'll go on.
Are you going to acknowledge any hands being raised? So my hand's been raised for quite some time.
We need to approve the agenda first. Cheryl, today's meeting includes a report to the Delegate Assembly from Antonio. I just said that. The meeting is a delegate assembly per the Pacifica bylaws. After that, the members of the KPFA as delegates will elect four directors to the Pacifica National Board. So the purpose of this meeting is only for a delegate assembly, not for new business. And we're focusing on the elections and the reports nationally. The chair will now entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as read.
I second it.
It's moved and seconded to approve the agenda. So
I object.
I object as well. And I objected to the last thing, but you didn't acknowledge me, so I didn't speak out.
So there is an objection, so we'll go to roll. We will, because this is part of our standing rules for a delegate assembly. We will go to a vote on approval of the agenda. Madam Secretary, please take a vote.
propose.
One sec.
Vote for... Aren't we supposed to have a discussion?
No.
Not on this matter. We are, time is out.
But we still have to discuss.
You have not been recognized by the chair, and we're not discussing this matter. We have a lot of business on the floor today. So please take the roll.
It doesn't matter. Bob
Abu Hadi.
No. No, with objection, strong objection.
Emma Auer?
You're violating rules and orders.
Rabab, no. Emma Auer?
I vote to approve the agenda. I vote yes.
Out of order.
Emma, yes. Virginia Browning?
No.
Virginia, no. Donna Carter?
No.
Donna, no. Michael Chang?
Yes, approve.
Michael, yes. Cheryl Davila?
Strongly object.
Cheryl, no. Fred Dodsworth?
Yes.
Fred, yes. Anthony Fest?
No, this vote is out of order. You wouldn't entertain amendments.
Chair, can you please pull these members to order?
Anthony,
vote
no.
Is yes or no?
Including yourself, right?
No, thank you.
No, actually, I'm in order right now.
No discussion. No discussion. No discussion during a roll call. No comments during a roll call.
Sherry Gendelman?
Yes.
Sherry, yes. Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Christina, yes. Zach Calvier?
Yeah.
Zach, yes. Lily Kimura?
Strongly accept.
Lily,
yes. Carlos, are you here yet, Carlos? Steve Kukala?
Yes.
Steve, yes. Philip Muldry?
Yes.
Philip, yes. Kathy Pico?
Yes.
Kathy, yes.
Yes.
Candace, yes. Allegra Thompson?
Yes.
Allegra, yes. Mark Van Landuit, are you here? Richard Walensky?
Yes.
Richard, yes. Stan Woods, are you in yet?
The number is not being accepted, he says.
Okay, Virginia, can you ask him to phone in on a phone?
I think that's what he is trying to do. But I will, I'll try that.
Carol,
we've accepted a lot of phone calls.
Carol, yes.
Carol, yes. There's 14 yeses and 5 noes.
The agenda has been approved. We'll now go on to item 6, approve the minutes. Are there any correction to the December minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. We will now hear a report.
Point of order. Excuse me, point of order. You didn't even give enough time to, you didn't give enough time to react. I was trying to get off the mute. I want to abstain and say no on this agenda. Oh, no.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, please record an abstention on approving this agenda. We will now, I am so pleased to introduce Stephanie Wells, the Pacifica Executive Director.
Excuse me, Ms. Wolfley, I didn't receive the minutes. How am I going to approve minutes that I didn't receive? You only listed the vote. There is nothing else from the minutes.
You are out of order. You're not recognized by the chair.
Can I be recognized by the chair, please?
Were sent. You are not recognized by the chair. They were sent in the document with the agenda. If you did not receive them, we can work on that later. You are not.
May I be recognized by the chair? May I speak as you please spoke, please, mute, Madam Chair?
Please mute, Miss. And I now invite I'm so pleased to recognize the Executive Director for Pacifica, Stephanie Wells, who is going to update us on what's happening with the fires, what's happening nationally. Thank you. Welcome, Ms. Wells.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. We're still working with KPFK on trying to get, at this point, the our transmitter, our generator that's been powering the transmitter since the start of the fires, broke down. And so we've, the staff, including staff members and volunteers at KPFK, have been working literally round the clock, being up in the mountain, Mount Wilson, when it's been dark, when it's been windy, trying to get everything fixed. What happened basically is that because the generator had not been used in a very long time, it just got a little worn out being on 24 hours a day to power the transmitter. So we've been working to try to get, we're still getting emails as I speak this right now of work that is being done up there. It wasn't just us actually that has had issues with the with their power generators. A lot of the other stations, television stations, were off of the air because of malfunctioning emergency backup generators. So we were very pleased in the beginning of the week that we had remained on the air without interruption, despite the challenges with the fires. But then our generator just decided, yeah, we can't hold up any longer. So it appears as if there might have been some issues with the filters, with some sort of cooling system there as well. But what we're doing right now is that a rental generator, I just received an email that said they are wiring the rental generator into the building right now, almost done. So hopefully we'll be back on the air very quickly. But we were able to, KPFK has still been streaming online, and they've been putting updates on the website and through social media on a regular basis. So it's quite a bit of work that's going up there at Mount Wilson, not just supporting KPFK, but a lot of the other stations, television and broadcast, that are having the same issues because their generators haven't had to work as hard as they've needed to. But other than that, we were very supportive and thankful for many of the other stations in our network that were supporting KPFK when the fires broke out. A special thanks to the KPFA news team and to Antonio for including coverage of the LA fires in their 6 p.m. newscast. And the KPFA newscast has been airing on the KPFA newscast has been airing on KPFK for about a month now. We've also been getting support from a lot of the LSB members and programmers at KPFA, sending us information and updates and links to various services that we can put up on our website. We also wanted to let everybody know that the archives remain safe. They weren't at any point during the fires. The fires are still going on, but obviously not as violent. The archives remained safe the entire time. There was never any threat to the archives, but the archives are in an underground cold storage facility. And again, it was not threatened at all by the wildfires. We did, however, pause some of the work on the Pacifica Legacy Project, which is where we're cataloging and prepping the items for shipment for digitization. And that was paused when the fires began for the safety of our staff, volunteers, and interns. Many of the people that have been working on that project actually needed to evacuate during the fires. We had quite a bit of support also from the affiliate network, Ursula Rudenberg and Stephanie Schubert from the affiliates, who worked with many other stations, talking to them and getting interviews with people from our affiliates who were experienced in covering major disasters, and they were able to provide insight and interviews on disaster management. And we were able to have an interview. WBAI worked with Jay April, who runs the Pacifica affiliate station KAKU in Maui, which was tragically destroyed during the fires in 2023. And they did an interview with them on We Decide, America at the Crossroads. And they also did an interview with a retired deputy Los Angeles Fire Department Chief Daryl Arbuthnot. And then again, that was on a program, We Decide America at the Crossroads, which is one of the programs that WBAI is doing that is also produced in a way that it can be used throughout the network. So KPFK, it's a 2-hour program, but KPFK was able to then pull that program, edit parts of it, and use a lot of those interviews for their own programming. Chris LaPalooza, who's WBAI's IT webmaster, has also been very pivotal in helping KPFK keep its website updated. And we're continually updating it with public safety announcements and links. And then WPFW, their IGM, Miyuki Williams, and their program director, Katia Stitt, and Myla Reason, one of the KPFK LSB members, coordinated and recorded quite a few public service announcements for KPFA as well. One of the things that we had talked about prior to even the fire starting, and we started talking about this last year, the general managers and the directors of the divisions, is that we wanted to put together an emergency preparedness team. And one of the things that the fires kind of forced us to do is to move forward a little bit quicker on putting together a Pacifica Foundation emergency response team. And what we want to do is... we know one of the things that the fires kind of brought to our attention is that whereas we were able to get together very quickly and start putting information and news out on the airwaves almost immediately, we were lacking in some of the technology and the small staffs that KPFK in particular has to be able to meet some of those needs of reporting pressing news. One of the things that we've realized also, obvious, that emergencies are not always limited to just natural disasters. And then given the potential challenges that are posed by the upcoming presidential administration and political climate, we realize the importance of developing a comprehensive Pacifica Foundation emergency response plan. So whereas we had been talking about this a few months ago, we have moved it up to be a top priority. And the aim of this is to make sure that we ensure the safety and well-being of our employees, our contractors, our volunteers, and our visitors, and our assets during any type of emergency. So what we're doing is we're going to put together a plan that will provide clear procedures to respond effectively to incidents and also minimize any harm to people, property, and the environment. And again, we'll address various potential emergencies, including natural disasters, but also structure fires, medical emergencies, hazardous material spills, workplace violence, and utility outages. We want to be able to have a detailed contact information of an emergency response team members at our local stations and then also on national levels. We do have a staff directory that will include contact information for all of our programmers. And then we're also opening that up to our board members as well. So we can have one set location where we can go to contact everybody all at one time, because that was kind of the concern anytime, whether there's an earthquake or a fire or, you know, whatever it may be, is to make sure that we can contact, terrible to think of, but if the fire had reached the building in Glendale where KPFK is, we needed to have an immediate way to be able to get in touch with everybody to say, you know, don't come in, your building's on fire. So Otis McClay has been working on getting a staff directory for us, and we met with that last week on Wednesday just to kind of do a quick overview of what he's done so far, and we should be rolling that out very quickly. So what we just want to make sure that we're doing is that we want to prepare proactively for future unforeseen events. And I know many of the stations already have emergency response teams, but we just want to make sure that we have all of that contact information and a guideline all in one place. So we really are very thankful for the staff and volunteers throughout the network, not just at KPFK, but have been working tirelessly to support KPFK and the entire network during this challenging time. In general, in speaking about the archives, we are moving very successfully through with our Pacifica Archives and Legacy project. We are collaborating, if people aren't aware of kind of what we started doing last year, is that we have a collaboration partnership with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the WGBH Educational Foundation, the Library of Congress, and they received funding from the Mellon Foundation to catalog and digitize our entire archive collection. It had been in many of our tapes and materials had been in storage for many, many, many years, and the storage facilities had not really been monitored or maintained for quite some time. So one of the biggest things that we needed to do was get a team in there. We have interns. We received funding to get some interns that are specializing in library sciences and archival archival studies. And so they've been going in and working with the guidelines from the American Archive of Public Broadcasting to catalog and keep track of every single piece of paper and material that is in all of the boxes. Even if they opened up a box and it appeared to be full of trash, they did take a look at every single newspaper, check the date on that, every single piece of, you know, paper that was in there, coffee cup, whatever it may be. And even if it was a box of trash, we were then at least able to know that we looked through each one. And what we've been able to do is organize these storage facilities. When I looked at the storage a while ago, you'd open the door and it was just jam-packed right to the front with cardboard boxes, many of them that were getting compressed.
Chair, that's 10 minutes.
We rented additional storage facilities in order to use that kind of as a triage. And so what we have right now is that we already have 10,000 of our pieces that have been prepped, prepared, cataloged, and packaged and ready to be shipped out for digitization. The digitization will probably take about 6 months, and then those final pieces, the original materials, will come back to us, and then we'll be able to have access to those digitized materials as well as within the Library of Congress and also on the American Archive of Public Broadcasting website. We'll link back to our website. So we're still owning all the materials. We own the licensing rights to the materials if we originally own the licensing rights to them in general, and we'll be able to make them more accessible for researchers, for educational purposes, and then also for our own stations. So we're very excited that that's moving forward, and I believe our interns are and staff are going back into the storage facility to work on that in, I think, just next week.
In general, that's 10 minutes, the time.
Okay. Questions, I guess?
Yeah. I have a question. I have a question, which is that two questions. First of all, about the archives. I have about 40 years of tapes. Anything happens to me, I...
This is Carol. Can you hear me?
Is anyone moderating?
Can Richard complete his statement?
People need to talk in turn.
Richard, you're muted.
Got it. Okay. Quick question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. With the Trump administration coming in, what kind of legal setup do we have?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I had a computer failure problem. Sorry. Thank you, Stephanie.
Actually, Richard's right in the middle of a statement, Carol.
Oh.
Yeah. This was for Stephanie. And, with the Trump administration coming in, what kind of legal setup do we have when they come after us?
We just had a conversation yesterday, John Amella, who's our compliance officer, and I, with the attorneys that work with us with the FCC, and also they're just our general media legal team. And he is not, but basically, you know, it's hard to tell, obviously, but he said that he said basically what their firm and what they're telling and sharing with a lot of their other organizations as well is that there will obviously be a lot of noise and a lot of rhetoric, but he said in the big picture, he does not think that there's going to be any sort of systematic witch hunt of the so-called left-leaning media. I mean, setting aside, we want to make sure that at the end of the day, everything that we're putting out on the air with actual, you know, not doing any sort of defamation, but there isn't, when we're stating our viewpoints and we're stating our opinions and we're doing what we can to educate the public, which is the key point here, is that our stations are technically, you know, educational, is that we're doing what we do. That's our mission. And that just simply something simply based on viewpoint, he said that, you know, they frankly just do not see that there's going to be a focus on trying to get the left-leaning media. He's saying, you know, of course, that that's their own analysis. And completely understand that there will be bad things. Most likely they're going to happen under his reign, but there isn't going to be a real consequence to media in the big picture. We have to make sure that we don't put aside our ability to state our own viewpoints. Because that's what we do. You know, that's if we cave in and not state our opinions, then we're doing exactly what they want to do. So we have to just make sure that we continue to broadcast our news and tell our stories. Then that's not defamatory, but that we really play a close focus on making sure that we're telling the news and, again, not being defamatory. We asked the questions about whether Trump is going to replace the civil servants of the FCC, but one of the things that the FCC, all the employees there are union. So it isn't like he can just go in and say everybody's gone. There's a lot of other steps that need to take into place that would be removing any sort of those employees that are part of the FCC. So with our reports that we file on a quarterly basis with the FCC, they are exactly what they should be. The FCC is very happy with what we report. They state exactly what we're supposed to do. And he said that most of the time when people are looking through those reports, with the FCC, they just kind of do a smell test to make sure that we have the programs that are listed, how it's meeting our mission, a brief explanation of what the programs are saying and doing. And we have never had any problems with any of those at all. So he says the reports are absolutely perfect with what we're supposed to be putting on. So I'm sure there's going to be, you know, again, a lot of rhetoric. We're just used to that within that administration. There's going to be a lot of soundbite optics. But, you know, it's not going to cause any additional issues with the consent decree that we're already under. As our attorney said, they have much bigger fish to fry. So it would be, you know, he said, if we enter a world or a time when all liberal media is going to be under attack, the attorney said that if we by chance were sued for something like that, they would take on our case pro bono, and they would love to take on that case because it would be an attack on all liberal media. And yes, Pacifica does a great job, but there's some other bigger individuals or companies that they would attack first.
Thank you.
Carol, are you incapable of chairing the meeting?
Apparently.
Why don't we have somebody else chair the meeting while Carol gets her computer working?
Who's the vice chair?
Michael.
Michael, would you please step to this?
Yep, I'll do it.
I'm back. Sorry, everybody, for the difficulties.
And hey, this is Carol on the phone.
Dr. Rabab Abdulhadi, did you have a question? Yeah.
Actually, Cheryl Davila was first.
Oh. And Stan Woods, would you like to speak too?
Okay, go ahead.
So I had a question.
Go ahead. I called on Dr. Rabab first.
It's okay, but Dr. Cheryl can go. That's fine.
Okay, Cheryl, go ahead, please.
Thanks for the honor, but I'm not a doctor, but thank you.
Oh, sorry, okay.
I was just curious, will you be training the staff and the volunteers for emergency preparedness? And the dissent decree could be problematic. I don't understand. I mean, it seems like they might go after people with something like that first. Can you explain that a little bit more?
People will be getting trained that we have a lot of trainings that are scheduled throughout this upcoming year. One of it will, of course, be the emergency response. We also have an anti-bullying and creating a respectful workplace training that's coming up in February that the dates haven't been announced yet, but that will be available not just for staff, but also PNB, LSB, and CAB members. We also have trainings that are coming up of respecting our resources and using them wisely. So we actually have quite a few trainings that are coming up, but emergency preparation is one of them. We asked if they would give us a hard time because of the consent decree, but our attorneys said yesterday, no, We're meeting every single obligation with the consent decree. We're doing everything we can. We haven't had any violations against the consent decree within the last probably 2 or 3 months. And there wouldn't be any reason for, this is again, according to our attorneys, there wouldn't be any reason for them to go after an organization that is already under a consent decree and meeting everything that we need to meet. There's no fear whatsoever. It would be like a double jeopardy. No.
Chair.
And I'm sorry, I had one more question. I was curious. If there's people on the radio right now that don't promote KPFA.
Cheryl,
and I had a third question.
I'm recognizing Rabab Abdul Hadi to speak now.
Point of order.
One question per person.
Chair, I have a point of order. This is Steve.
Go ahead. What's your point of order, Steve?
I was assigned the timing role. I only had 10 minutes for the executive director. I have no time for the speakers, so I'm not sure what to do.
We're taking a few minutes for the speakers right now, just because it's a rare thing. So we'll extend. I move to extend for another, 5 minutes.
Second.
Unless there is an objection.
No objection.
Without objection, we'll extend for 5 minutes. Thank you, Steve. I want to recognize that Carlos Cohan has joined
me. Actually, the next person is Dr. Abu Hadi.
Okay, first of all, I just...
Second, just one moment, please. I want to recognize that Carlos has joined. I want to check and see if Stan Woods has joined the meeting.
Yes.
Yes, I have. I'm on via phone. I've tried repeatedly to get on via Zoom, and I kept on rejecting it.
That's enough.
Such link existed.
Thank you.
So do you hear me?
Stan. Okay, I want to also make one quick announcement that the ballots may be in your spam folder. They have been resent by KPFA Meetings Notify. So please, you may find your ballot in your spam folder. Thank you. We'll check back on the ballots, and please, sorry for the delay, Ms. Abdul Hadi, Dr. Abdul Hadi, yes. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to ask a general point. Everybody here is supposed to be silent unless you, Madam Chair, call on people, right? Nobody is supposed to intervene and say anything. This is not just for Ms. Wells. I'm asking for everybody, right? Just can you confirm yes or
That's
no?
Correct.
Unless the parliamentarian steps in and says, so I would like to really ask everybody, and especially Mr. Fred, to refrain from intervening every time and run the meeting. And that has to do with bullying
Thank
and has
you.
To do with taking more Thank space than anyone else.
It's time for,
Okay, now, because this is, I'm going to ask Ms. Wells. I have a question for Ms. Wells, because you spoke about bullying and you spoke about relating to each other within the workspace. And I'm feeling very uncomfortable every time any person, especially a person who comes from marginalized communities, a person of color wants to say something, somebody who is not his place jumps in and actually tries to run the meeting when there are people running the meeting. That's one thing. The second thing is I really want to thank you for reporting on what's happening in SoCal, but I also want to say something about the current situation. The last FCC director actually stated in publications that he did not care that there should be different points of view. He didn't care. He said, I don't really care. He's quoted, I think, inside higher education. Secondly, that it's not really rhetoric. I don't care about rhetoric. They can say whatever they want unless they follow the law. But I think that they might actually try to catch the smaller fish before the bigger fish, because it might be easy catching. So I think it might be really necessary for us to also band with other people and also just like really prepare a plan, not just rely only on attorneys. I'm just really, really worried because they tend to, you know, manufacture the news. Already many mainstream press has already backed down from many things. So I'm just wondering about that. And I'm really hoping that we will do something about that.
Madam Chair, I have a matter of personal privilege.
What is your point of personal privilege?
I was just called out and told that I was a bully, that I was disrupting this organization, when in fact I was trying to help because you were offline. And I really, really resent that. And I demand an apology from Dr. Abu Hadi.
On behalf of the whole board, I apologize, Fred, and we don't do personal attacks. I do want to ask everyone to honor
the chair, and thank you for wanting to intervene. And Michael, are you timing people? Michael Chang?
Yes, I will.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And these are questions. Please keep it simple. We want to have, allow everyone to have a chance to talk. Thank you. Stephanie, go ahead and respond, please.
I'm not too sure what the question was that was in that comment, but we are doing trainings, as I said, on that we are hoping and encouraging that all LSB and PNB members participate in, and that, again, is a respectful work environment, respecting the individuals that are volunteers, exclusivity, I mean, DEI training, anti-bias training, looking at unconscious bias, and really have, we're also adding workshops that were every other week that people can just come in and talk and have additional conversations. We received a donation to hire a company that's going to be running this. It's not coming from Pacifica, but from an outside person. And it's a woman-owned, minority-owned based nonprofit that will be doing this trainings. So I do really hope and encourage, we can't force people to take the trainings, but we really do hope and encourage that people can. And by having this directory, we're going to be listing all those trainings on everybody's emails. So that way, if there is an issue, we don't want any lawsuits, but if there is some sort of hostile work environment or defamation issue that we have, and we can say that we've asked people to take these trainings, but they've opted not to take the trainings, Pacifica has done everything that they can to protect themselves and their employees against any of these complaints and concerns. So we're doing what we can to try to create a respectful workplace. And then as far as, you know, there's a lot of what ifs. What's going to happen within the next 4 years? We're working, as I said, very closely with our outside counsel, which has been dealing, you know, which has been not our inside, you know, internal general counsel, but with the outside counsel that's been working Pacifica for quite some time. And as he said, you know, we can only continue to do what we're doing. We're not going to restrict anyone from saying any opinions on the air or making opinions about, you know, the political climate or opinions about the leaders that we have in place, because then if we do, we're caving in, then we're letting them win, you know? So it's like, we can't be afraid to not continue to do what we do. We just have to make sure that what we do, we're doing it right. We're doing it in a smart way. If it is an opinion-based programming, we are going to have disclaimers that are running on all the stations that basically say, you know, the opinions that are stated within this program is the opinions of the people on the air, that kind of thing, just to kind of protect Pacifica as well as the pro, you know, and the stations as well. But, you know, we're not going to cave in and just not do what we do best, which is educating people about the truth, about the political climate, and what we do best. So we just have to kind of play it day by day, but we have full faith in our attorneys, and we have full faith in our programmers as we let them know, you know, just to make sure that you're not defaming people, but that you're being a journalist and you're stating the facts. And if it's an opinion show, then it's an opinion program, and we'll say that these are the opinions of the people on this program.
As a timer, I want to remind everybody, please ask a question, not a statement, as succinctly as possible. I also appreciate the response to be short and succinct. Thank you.
Steve, how are we for time on this item with the 5-minute extension?
Past time.
Are we past time?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay. Let's go on to our next speaker.
I tried to manage it, but it got out of control.
Thanks. Steve, we'll go on to our next person. Antonio Ortiz is our interim general manager. Welcome, Antonio. Sorry, we're running a little late. But yes. I think it's really important to hear Stephanie's reports. And thank you, Stephanie. Okay. Go ahead, Antonio.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, thanks.
Wonderful. I'm going to try to keep my report short. Just because there's Susan is here, and I want to make sure that we have more time for questions as well. But I wanted to let you all know for 2024, just some of the new programming that went onto KPFA. Two music programs came on in the beginning of the year. That was in February of 2024. One was City Cat Radio, hosted by DJ, producer, engineer, DJ Henrock. It was based off of 25 years of him gathering music, and he wanted to sell, his show was designed to celebrate plain old good music, which includes soul, roots, reggae, dancehall, soca, afrobeat, funk, house, and underground hip hop, for any of you who are interested in that. And that plays on Wednesday mornings at 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. From 2 to 5 a.m., which is right after that, is another music program that started on the same day on February 7th. That was hosted, or it is hosted by Ryan and Olivier, also known as Excuse My French. These two individuals came from Calyx, and they're producing a show that is iconique électronique. That's how they describe it. And it follows the genres of, and I don't know a lot of these things, so if I mispronounce it, it's my fault. But amapiano, electronica, high-tech soul, house, beats, techno, drum and bass, rave, electro, garage, italo, new wave, club, baile funk, dub, trip hop, and all things cybersonic. That's what's described, for their show on, KPFA's website. For this and for any other shows that you want to find out about, just go to kpfa.org and they should be listed in the program grid. But those two music programs started, in February of last year, and they're from 12 to 5 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. Then there's a big lapse of time from then, before the next, set of programs started coming in. And that happened, late last year, which is about 2 months ago on November 4th. We began broadcasting 2 half-hour programs, at 2 o'clock. We have a show, Green Street, with Patty and Doug Wood that originates from the New York area. It's a weekly environmental health program with news and interviews that cover a wide range of issues from fracking to plastics to synthetic turf, wireless radiation to chemicals in food, air and water. It's a environmental show, that also has, leaning toward how it affects our health. And then at 2:30, right after that, is The Bioneers, Revolution from the Heart of Nature. It's an award-winning international radio and podcast series, which showcases in-depth interviews with leading social and scientific innovators from the Bioneers Conference. KPFA is a co-sponsor, or a media sponsor of the Bioneers Conference the past 2 years. I think we're going to be doing it again this year. And the program, that's on our air, covers a wide range of topics, which the Bioneers Conference does, which includes intelligence and nature, climate justice, food and farming, gender equity, indigenous knowledge, reigning in corporate power, and youth activism. So I'm looking forward to our co-sponsorship with them this upcoming year. I think it happens in March, but you'll probably find out about it when we get closer to that time. But that's on Tuesdays. Sorry. That's on Mondays. 2 o'clock, Green Street, and at 2:30, The Bioneers. And then the most recent change happened on January 2nd of this year, and that starts at 11:30 a.m. on Thursdays, and it's KPFA airing an LGBTQ, sorry, KPFA airing an LGBTQ show from Los Angeles. Tongue twister here, a lot of letters here. The show is called This Way Out. And if you don't know about it, This Way Out is an internationally distributed weekly LGBTQ radio program, which features a summary of some of the major news events in or affecting the queer community, in-depth coverage of major events, interviews with key queer figures, plus music, literature, and entertainment. And that happens on Mondays at 11:30 at 11:30 a.m. From there, I'm just going to mention some of the special broadcasts that we did this past year that are notable. One of them was the election night watch party. And these are coverages that we do, that we don't do normally. So some of the things that we do every year is the Black History Month broadcast, the International Women's Day broadcast. That's going to be, both of those are happening again, January, coming up in January and March. Other things that we've done are the sunrise ceremony, gatherings over at Alcatraz that happens on Indigenous Peoples Day and on Thanksgiving Day. So those are the ones that continue always happen, that continually happen. And my appreciation goes to everyone who works on those to make that a reality. But I want to just let you know some of the things that we did this year that we don't normally do. One is the election night watch party, which was put together and it broadcasted live. We broadcasted live from the New Parkway Theater in Oakland, 6 to 9 p.m. We did Democracy Now! On the air at KPFA. And then from 9 to 10, we had an open panel at the New Parkway Theater with Brian Edwards-Tiekert, Kat Brooks, Davey D., Dennis Bernstein, and an engagement with the audience who had questions or concerns or thoughts. And we broadcast that live from 9 to 10 p.m. Also, immediately after that, from 10 to 12, the news department did local and state coverage or coverage of local and state measures, for election night. Both of the events that we did, the one at the New Parkway Theater from 9 to 10 and also the news, from 10 to 12 was also broadcast nationally with our sister stations and was part of the Pacifica National Election Night coverage that the Pacifica organization did. So that happened on election night. Stephanie already mentioned it. Thank you, Stephanie. KPFA's news department has been providing news headlines for this past week to KPFK in LA to give them content that can serve the needs of the listening community there in LA. I know it's been challenging for a station that is in the midst of disaster, and it's a reminder of what we at KPFA need to do, because there might be a moment that we're going to be in the same situation. And I think it's something I need to think about for 2025. What are we going to do if something happens that's similar here in the Bay Area? Because we're going to need the help from our sister stations, but also we're going to need to be organized so that we can continue to run, continue to serve our listeners and protect our staff. And that's just something that is something that me and my team are going to need to talk about in 2025. Sorry, I went a little bit on the side. Three other events, or special broadcasts this past Tuesday, January 14th, Mitch Jeserich of Letters in Politics hosted a special broadcast of the Senate Confirmation Armed Services Committee hearing of Peter Hegseth, as Secretary of Defense. That happened at 6:30 a.m. And then on Wednesday, January 15th, Brian Edwards-Tiekert of Upfront hosted a special broadcast of the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on the confirmation of Pamela Bondi as U.S. Attorney General, also at 6:30 in the morning. That's something that KPFA has been able to do, is these special broadcasts that provides that the listeners can listen to what's going on in those committee hearings, and then also provide a place for hearing some feedback from maybe some of the audience if they do call-ins, and if not, getting
9 minutes.
Oh, I have five minutes.
Nine minutes.
Does that mean I'm done?
No, you have one more minute.
I got a minute and a half.
I'll go quicker than that, but it's okay. There's not that much I have to say. And then on Monday, we're going to have inauguration coverage. You can look online, find out more about it, but it's going to be hosted by Mitch Jeserich. It'll start at 11 a.m. On Monday. And then there's also going to be coverage from a rally in Oakland for the Reclaim MLK's Legacy. That's going to be from 2 to 3. That's what we have planned for this coming Monday. Notable events. To go real quickly on that is that we did a co-sponsored event, We All Live in Gaza, on March 23rd at the Starry Plow with International Documentary Association to support Gaza artists, musicians, and art and journalists. On September 6th, Amy Goodman spoke at the First Church of Christ Scientists in Berkeley to celebrate KPFA's 75th birthday. On June 3rd, we have a Rebel Airways exploring KPFA's history with, which was hosted by Liam O'Donohue of East Bay Yesterday at the Shotgun Blairs in Berkeley. And Saturday, July 20th, longtime radio host Larry Bensky was officially inducted into the California Historical Radio Society's Radio Hall of Fame during the Radio Day by the Bay event in Alameda. And KPFA had a booth there, and our hope is to do another booth at the next Radio Day by the Bay that's happening in, I think, July. Lastly, for the fun drives, I just want to give you the post-holiday and the holiday drives. They ended strong. We ended up bringing over $400,000 in pledges. One thing that I'm really proud of is that in 2024, at the beginning of 2024, I said to the board that one of my goals was for us to eliminate the summer fun drive. And this year, we did not do a summer fun drive. So from June through September, the beginning of September, there was no interruption in programming, no asking for listeners for money. We were able to do that. So I'm really grateful that we were able to make that thing happen. Other things for you to note, as of December 31st, the station has over 5,300 sustainers who contribute almost $100,000 per month. And so that means every month we're getting about $100,000 in sustainer money. That money is not necessarily separate from the fund drives, because when people donate during fund drives, they may be choosing to be a monthly sustainer. So that number is in. Just know that it's, for me as the general manager, in order for us to be independent, to be able to bring in the money that we need per month from sustainers would be fabulous. And so my hope is that for 2025, well, I don't think that's unrealistic. Let me go back to reality. But I want to say what my ultimate goal would be is that if the station could bring in about $300,000 per month, which is what it costs to run the station, we could potentially not need any fund drives. We could just have one fund drive. But that's my dream. I don't know if that's going to be anything that we can do in 2025, but that's my dream. And then the last thing is that two more things. The other thing is that we've been working on
It's 10 minutes.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It is 10 minutes.
Antonio, is there we've got still Susan. Is there anything, just one last urgent thing, one or two sentences?
Two quick things, if I could do that. We're building up our reserves, and since 2022, November of 2022, when we had almost $0, 0 months of reserves, at this point, we've built up to 2 months of reserves. That took 2 years to do. And then the last thing for anyone to know is that I want to, ultimate goal two for April 15th, our birthday, is, and I want to say thank you to Candace Schott for spearheading this. I would love for 1929 Martin Luther King Jr. Way, our building, to be a historical landmark, to get historical landmark designation. And so that is my hopes and plans and wishes for 2025.
Thank you, Antonio. And I'm now going to call on Susan Young. Thank you, Susan. And Antonio, can you stick around a little bit in case we have a few questions? Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Susan. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I am the outgoing chair of the Pacifica National Board. The results are not in yet for KPFT about who will be elected as directors. I am a candidate. First, kudos to Antonio and for all of his efforts in working with collaborative programming across the system, and major support for, and it's important for KPFA to be taking a major lead in the cross system reporting and support for KPFK. That also included the affiliates, that included WBAI and WPFW, so we need to do more of that. Also, I want to thank Donna, Fred, Zach, and Darlene, who has turned out for working collaboratively with us all year for the on the national board. Quick comment about Project 2025. The best way we've been able to put ourselves in a strong position is coming into compliance with FCC regs. We are no longer doing infomercial programming, and that is absolutely huge. Another thing is that Stephanie didn't mention, but there's been training across the entire system for FCC compliance. If you don't take the training, you're not on the air. That's really, really important. The place where we are most vulnerable is FCC compliance. We don't get CPB funding, as you all are very painfully aware. I have reached out to the ACLU of Texas. The ACLU, I served on the ACLU of Texas board for 10 years. We have contacts with them. We're going to reach out to librarians. We are going to be at the ready to protect free speech from the get-go. So that's one thing. And our FCC attorney is absolutely excellent. So if we're going to get some pro bono backing from him, that's really big. In addition to the digitization of the archives, when I was first on this board 20 years ago, I was terrified about losing the archives. Finally, with this agreement with the Library of Congress, we can protect the archives. That's really, really big. We also, by the way, this last year cut our debt in half, which is amazing. That happened only with the sale of the KPFK building. They have really had to go through a lot and turn right around and be able to cover this fire. So we owe them all a vote of thanks. The Stephanie has talked about anti-bullying training and trying to reduce the negativity in the environment and the way that our employees are under almost constant attack. The PNB also adopted extensive policies to support management and governance at the PNB and the local station board level to counter the negativity in emails, in meetings, which are un-Pacifican and which discourage people from supporting us or getting engaged. And finally, there we have an interim general manager at every one of the five stations. We need a procedure for moving forward to fill those positions. The bylaws establish two important things. One, the local station boards develop a pool of candidates. Two, and for the general managers, the executive director picks the final, makes the final decision. For program directors, the general manager makes the final decision. But anything in between, there is no specificity about that. So we work very closely. Let me thank Darlene Pagano, who is an HR professional, to put together a procedure that recognizes and conforms to California Corporation Code, to employment standards. And we now have an adopted procedure to give, to make sure that each station follows something that is defensible from an HR perspective. You all probably know that HR is very difficult, highly technical, and is the major source of litigation that we have across the system. So our purpose in establishing these procedures is to make sure that all the local station boards have guardrails so that they don't run afoul of HR problems. So thank you, Fred, Donna, Darlene, Zach, for all of your hard work, for working on committees and directing committees. And I think we've accomplished a lot this last year with management and with this group on the national board.
Thank you very much, Susan. And I think you were going to say something about the evaluation process.
Well, the evaluation process, and Carol, we have done a lot of looking at the evaluation process. So one of the things that the bylaws task local station boards with is doing an annual evaluation of the general managers. And there are, again, there are not clear guidelines about that. We have kind of done a survey of what different LSBs do for us to kind of compare notes. Perhaps equally important, the bylaws, oddly enough, do not provide for the Pacifica National Board to do an annual evaluation of the executive director. It's kind of implicit, but not explicit. So the board has stood up a personnel committee for the last 3 years, and they designed a rigorous ED evaluation process that is a 360 and which has permitted us to establish a solid record in 2022, 2023, and 2024 for the ED evaluation, which is what we should be doing as an organization and which permits us to really back up solid management and doing a good job.
Thank you very much, Susan. We are now at time to go into our election process. So I'm going to go ahead and ask the secretary to read the procedures for the election, please. Candace, can you go ahead, please?
Yeah, hi all. I hope you did get the final ballot emailed to you, the correct one.
It should have been emailed at the beginning of the meeting from meetings@kpfa.org, meetings@kpfa notify. To access the Google ballot, click on the link included in the email, and you do not need to have a Gmail address to use the ballot. Per the bylaws, nominations were submitted by December 31st, 2024. To vote using the Google ballot, type in your name and a 5-character code that you create. And to vote for a candidate listed on the Google ballot, click on the circle next to the name with the ranking of your first, second, and third choice. There are 3 seats for listener directors and 1 seat for staff director. In order to be counted, ballots must be received by the end of the KPFA LSB January 18th, 2025 meeting, and the results will be sent to LSB members by email after calculations are complete and confirmed. If you're having trouble voting on the Google ballot, you may call or text 415-294-1483. That's 415-294-1483 with your name and your 5-character code. Ballots must be received by the end of this meeting to be counted.
Thank you, Candace. I want to thank all of our guests today, Stephanie Wells, Antonio Ortiz, and Susan. Unfortunately, we don't have time for more questions right now because we are on a time certain need to complete our voting. So we have 4 nominees for listener director, and these are listed on the ballot in the order that the nominations were received. And I will be calling on each of you, Fred, Zach, Michael, and Donna, to make a 1-minute statement about your candidacy. So, and then we have 1 nominee for Steph, who is Philip Muldery, and we will ask him also to make a statement if he would wish to. Go ahead, Fred.
I'm quite proud of the fact that I've served on the PNB now for 2 years, and we've actually, in that time period, change the entire culture of the PNB, where we're treating each other with much more respect and we're actually accomplishing things. We're spending a lot less time screaming and yelling and making false accusations and a lot more time getting things done. If you like that, please vote for me. I served on the governance committee, which was run the same way. We've cut down our meetings at the PNB from 5 and 6 hours to an hour and a half to 2 hours, and I hardly support the continuation of that, and my governance committee meetings have run 90 minutes or less. There's no reason for us to spend 5 and 6 hours arguing about stuff that has nothing to do with what our mandate is. If you like that way it's done, please vote for me, and please vote for Michael, and please vote for Mr. Muldery, and please vote for Zach. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Our next candidate is Zach Caldevier.
Yeah, so I'm running for re-election for many of the reasons Fred just outlined, because I think Pacifica is at a crossroads and the stakes have never been higher. And I think the most meaningful way to support issues like Gaza and fulfill Pacifica's mission is to save the network and strengthen its ability to deliver impactful, in-depth journalism. I think to do that, we must focus on real solutions like fixing broken bylaws to improve governance, removing ineffective management and complying with FCC requirements, and eliminating pseudoscientific programming that tarnishes our credibility. And at the same time, we must ensure stations like WBI are held accountable and meet FCC standards while we protect KPFA, the only station in the black with a full news department and the cornerstone that's keeping Pacifica afloat. So as a KP rep on the PNB, our majority has done this despite near universal opposition to every basic common sense effort to do any of these things by the fundamentalist professional time wasters and disruption addicts that love the sound of their own voices and outsized opinions of their own self-importance that we have in this minority on this board and on the PNB. So I will defend KPFA and work to ensure it thrives, setting the standard for the rest of the network. Pacifica cannot afford leadership that undermines its strongest assets. I ask for your support to help steer us towards sustainability in a future where Pacifica continues to serve as a vital voice for truth and justice. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Next,
over 1 minute.
Is Michael Chang.
Yes, my name is Michael Chang. Of course, I'm asking for your support. I'm a retired chemist, but to KPFA and Pacifica, I'm relatively a newbie. I'm serving on the governance committee. I believe that we're so lucky to we have the use of email and Zoom. We need to take full advantage of these things. I believe a lot of the business can be conducted via email. The meeting in a Zoom is valuable time for everybody. We need to make good use of it rather than fighting over little things. We need to use this opportunity to make decisions for the good of the network. However, each station must clean its house first to make the network good. Like the United States, each state must carry its own way to make the nation, a republic, function well. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Next is Donna Carter.
Hi, I'm Donna Carter. I've been on the PNB for the last year, and it's been a really amazing experience. I have attempted to participate and both during the meetings and off in Zoom or off in emails with every topic that has been brought up pretty much at meetings. And that's been great. I've learned a lot about how Pacifica functions. The finances, I want to also compliment Darlene for the hard work she did on that. I've learned about rules, Robert's Rules of Order. I've paid attention to the decreasing number of legal issues that Pacifica has. Personnel issues, I would very much appreciate your voice so that I can participate again and represent KPFA on the PNB. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Now, those are the four listener director candidates. And now I would invite Philip Maldery to speak. He is the staff candidate.
Thank you, Carol. Again, I am running for the staff rep on the national board. I was a staff rep once before on the national board in 1980-82. So it's been a long, strange trip, let me tell you. At the same time, I think that the staff, both paid and unpaid, are largely mystified about what happens at the national board level. So I really do plan on reporting back to the staff about decisions made at the national board level that impact all of us. Clearly, reaching this agreement with the FCC was a milestone, and it does have serious repercussions for retraining staff about what is selling a product and what is actually offering just a thank you gift. And so that change is being adopted throughout the system. It's a good change. We are not in the business of peddling products to people like some kind of, you know, garage sale. So thank you for your vote.
Thank you, Philip. So those are the candidates. And,
point of order.
What's your point, please?
Normally we get a email back when the ballots have been received. Are we going to receive those this time as well?
Okay. We're going to talk about that right now, Fred.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, it is my understanding that 19 people have voted. And, if you have not voted and you need support, please call the number. Candace, can you give them the phone number again, please?
415-294-1483. Again, it's 415-294-1483.
Good. Peter, I want to check in with you if we can. If you have voted
and you're feeling complete with that. We're on a break, and right now we will be working on helping anyone who has not voted to vote and to make sure that everyone is included in that possibility. Public comments will start time certain at 12:30. So please go ahead and take a break if you need to. And if you, I'm going to ask everyone to please take your hands down unless you have a problem with voting or an issue related to voting or another urgent problem that you need addressed. Thank you. Okay, what I am seeing is...
That was the 10-minute alarm.
Thank you, Steve. Steve, I see your hand. Did you have anything else?
No, I was...
Okay, your hand is down. Thank you. All right. Carlos, did you have a question? I see your hand.
Yes, I have a quick question on voting. There were two emails, the last two emails that I received on the voting, one at 11:14, the other one at 11:39. Candice said, ignore the previous one and use this one. I believe the link is the same. I used the original one, the first one, and I already voted. But now my question is that vote correct, or do I need to vote again with the new link?
Thank you, Carlos. There are two, there was a mistaken ballot sent at the beginning, and that ballot was just, it was from the last election. So it started off saying Carol Wolfley for chair.
Carol, it looks like the correct one was sent at 11:39.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to check Peter, or Roxy. Can you please tell me if Carlos was, did you submit your ballot? Carlos?
Yes. What was the question?
Did Carlos's ballot for the director election get, was it was received for the director election?
Yes. Yes. Okay. We've received, almost everybody's, there's like two or three people we haven't heard from.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Because again, there were two last emails with the same link.
Yeah. Sorry about that. There was.
No, that's all right. But I used the first one and I voted.
That's great. That.
Yeah.
That's okay. Great. Yeah. We had some. Yeah. Sorry. We had some.
There were two emails with the correct link, but one of them went to an incomplete list of voters is what happened.
Right. Okay. Okay. But you did receive it. That's the main thing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. The next person I want to call on is Anthony Fest. Anthony, did you have a voting question?
Yes. Last month I asked what would be the procedure in the event of a tie. I think it was Christina Huggins who said, we'll work on that. I don't know what was decided. I'd also like to know who these techs that, no offense to them, but I personally have never met them and know nothing about them. Do they know about the STD threshold and matters like that?
We're using STB software. Yes. And in the case of a tie, I think that is highly unlikely in this election, but I will check with the meeting administrator and the parliamentarian about that. Thank you. We'll get back to you on that.
Then they tell us who has not voted.
Yes. I'm checking in with everybody, and then we'll go over who I want to give people a little time, and I'm going through the people that have their hands raised one by one to help everyone who has. There's only like two or three people who haven't voted, and we're going through the list. Thank you. Okay, next person is
Fred, I see your hand.
I think Sharon was up before Fred's. You're not going in the order in which they were.
I'm going in the order of participants on my list.
I know, but my name should have been first because my name was up before Fred's.
Cheryl, I think that's correct. Cheryl should be next.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead, Cheryl. Sorry, I apologize for the oversight. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Yeah, it's interesting because oversights happen so often. It seems accidentally on purpose sometimes.
Cheryl,
but, I am trying to be respectful. Thank you very much. I'm just stating a comment. Also, with these, shake your head, that's fine. But the point is that it seems interesting that the ballots get messed up. That seems like a setup for failure, that a wrong ballot goes out.
Cheryl, I'm
just saying that these things should have been. It should have been done ahead of time and made sure that it was sent out correctly. And I hope this doesn't occur again in the future.
I'm glad the member never made a mistake in her life.
Comment. Okay, thank you. All right, go ahead. The next person.
Honor my mistakes. I learned from
that. If you are having, Cheryl, we want to prioritize right now to allow people to vote who haven't voted. We have just a few minutes before time certain for public comments, and we want to make sure that everyone can vote. Please understand. Thank you. Okay, Donna, do you have a voting problem? Donna, do you have a voting problem?
I don't believe so, but I was unable to click on the second email, so I submitted my votes by phone.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you for your perseverance. Donna, do you know, did you receive the link? I want to understand, so for future elections. Did you receive the email, the second email?
Yes, and that's the one I attempted to click on, and it just flashed the number back and forth. It wouldn't go anywhere. So
there was a third email with the link that worked.
At 11:39.
At 11:39.
I didn't see that one. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Check your spam, Donna, because a lot of my stuff goes to spam.
Okay, but I've already phoned.
You've already voted. Uh-huh. Yeah. We just want to make sure you don't have future trouble.
Yeah. Today we did have a problem with which link went out. I think the meeting administrators had a problem, but we do want to make sure that you can vote in the future. Can you go ahead and check and see if you got one? Peter, can I check with you if it's a problem if Donna votes by, I would like to see if she can vote by the Google Doc.
If she can vote by the Google Doc, that would be preferable.
Okay.
Because then it's automatically in the system.
Okay. So
otherwise we're hand entering it.
Yeah. So you haven't hand entered it yet?
No, that'll be added.
Okay.
Afterwards.
So Donna, let's go ahead and try and see if you.
Ma'am. I did not get the third email with the, I'll have to check my spam here. But not
spam.
Hold on. Okay.
Again, look for 11:39.
Right.
A.M.
Mm-hmm.
I have an alternative, Donna.
Let's just go through. Problem with her email.
I didn't get one. At 11:39. No.
Which email did it go to, Peter?
For
Donna?
Did it go to her Gmail?
No, it should have. Yes, it should have gone to the Gmail because that's what we've updated.
Well,
the first two went to my AOL.
Oh.
So that's where I got
the. Right. Yeah. No. Yeah, but it's. The the final email went to the Gmail.
Oh, here it is. I see it in the Gmail. Okay. I'll do that one as well.
Thank you, Donna. Sorry about that.
And we did have a problem, you know, as you and I had written back and forth about the AOL and the Gmail. So in the future, we'll always be doing Gmail. I think in the last election, we were still using your AOL. So thank you for your patience.
Okay.
Okay. Fred, were you able to vote?
I was able to vote, I think. Originally, I voted at 11:04, there was an email, but that was just for chair, et cetera. And then I got another, meeting, notification at 11:14, and I voted on that. And then I got another one at 11:39, and I haven't yet voted on that because I thought I'd already voted at 11:14. So
I asked Peter to resend in case.
Right. Yes. If you just vote once, if you got multiple emails, just vote once.
Thank you. So you've gotten my vote then, correct?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have your vote.
Thank you so much. I will not vote.
There's only one person that we have not gotten a vote for.
Oh, good. Well, thank you.
Have you got a vote for Stan Woods?
Yes.
Stan, they got your vote. Did you have a question?
Well, I just want to say I got two identical emails for directors. I found one of them, the first one in junk. I found it and I immediately filled it out and voted. But then later on, I received another one in my regular Gmail, and which said disregard the previous one. So I voted twice, but I just want to reassure people I wasn't trying to ballot stuff or anything like that.
We understand.
Thank you, Stan. And we've made note of that.
Yeah. And the main thing is to use the same code, please.
I did use the same code.
Yeah. As long as you use the same code, then it's very, very clear. Okay. Can you tell me, Peter, who has not voted?
I don't see a vote from Richard Walensky.
Richard, are you still with us?
He is on the line, on the
screen.
Chair, we're at time certain for public comment.
Okay. Richard, I'm not, thank you, Steve.
He's on mute.
Richard has been asked to unmute.
Okay. Richard.
I'm messaging him.
You're messaging him on his phone?
To the Zoom meeting.
Okay. Chat. Okay. Okay. Christina, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Could you phone Richard and see if he's having trouble voting? He's not answering on the email right now, and he's the only person who has not been able to get their vote in, and because of the confusion.
Okay, I'll give him a call.
Thank you. Okay, we will now go into public comments.
90 seconds each?
It is 1.5 minutes each.
Okay.
Michael, I am going to ask as vice chair, do you have a gallery view with hands up? Can you read the hands up?
I can see the hands up, but I only seeing 25 at a time. You know, first okay. page. I can scroll to the next page.
Go to the top. So they'll go to the top left.
Yes.
Would you be willing to call on people? I have only a gallery view instead of I have only a speaker view. So if you could call on people, in the order that they have their hands raised and not LSB members. So I see Mara Rivera.
That's correct. First one.
Up. I don't see anybody else.
Sheila Hamanaka has her physical hand raised. Please use the Zoom hand raise device.
Yeah, sorry, I'm visually impaired.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so go ahead, Michael, if you would be willing to
I'll call the, yeah.
Thank you.
So Sheila will be third. Mara Rivera's first. Next one is Daniel Bergstrom and Sheila.
Good. Thank you so much.
Mara, go ahead. 90 seconds.
Are you calling on me?
Yes, please.
Mara,
90 seconds.
Are you calling on Mara?
Yes, Mara Rivera, please.
Oh, okay.
Start, 90 seconds.
Oh, okay. There's a conflict at KPFA between a group which wants to remove the station from the Pacifica network, downgrade democratic governance, and sell off the station to authoritarian leadership and moderate the agenda similar to NPR. We are there for points of view not found in commercial media, and I don't appreciate people calling other methods of healing, peddling fake products, and pseudoscientific information. We are there to represent unpopular points of view. Reduced meeting time is not a good achievement. Meeting every 2 months for 2 hours when we have much governance to accomplish is not adequate. Squelching conflicts in government is undemocratic. A democratic government should provide a forum for free discussion. That's it.
Thank you. Next is Daniel Borkstrom. 90 seconds.
Hello, this is Daniel. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I've been on the board for just a bit short of 6 years and termed out. And I feel very honored that listeners voted me on the board. At the same time, I guess it was an extremely stressful experience. I see a lot of bullying. One person was speaking this morning. A Palestinian woman was speaking, and there was a guy who just cut in on her. I saw that happen, and this is kind of the routine thing that I see. It's not pleasant. Now, one other thing I want to say is, I was reassured by what Stephanie Wells said this morning. I think nearly everything that she referred to was the current administration, the Trump administration. Excuse me for naming a name, but the Trump administration. But let's remember that there's a bipartisan threat. There's a bipartisan.
10 seconds.
Okay, that's a bipartisan threat. I think that's enough against free speech, against alternative journalism. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Sheila Hamanaka. 90 seconds, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'd like to invite everybody to a national town hall that's being co-sponsored by Friends of Community Media out of Kansas City, Missouri, and Pacifica Fight Back. And it's going to take place on Saturday, January 25th at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And it's very timely. It's Stop the Nonprofit Killer Bill and Protect Non-Commercial Community Radio, which of course includes Pacifica. So we're very lucky. We have some amazing speakers. Omali Yeshitela, who of course is the chairperson of the African People's Socialist Party and one of the Uhuru Three, Professor Gerald Horn, a preeminent historian who needs no introduction, I think, and Elisa Mejia, who is from the Association of Spanish Language Programmers at KPFK and host of In Her Sentia, Feminina, excuse my pronunciation. So if you go online to Pacifica
15 seconds.
Okay. Go to PacificaFightback.org and please join us. And lastly, please no muting. It's against the bylaws.
Thank you very much.
Washington, 90 seconds.
Thank you very much. Hi, all. Happy Saturday. So I listened to what Stephanie Wells said with great interest because I believe that racism and misogyny become institutionalized. They happen and people don't even recognize that they're happening. And there's no KPFK or Pacifica station that I've encountered yet that does not have that issue. So we really do need to barrel down on that. I know that I can ask a question and it won't get answered in this forum. So I'm just going to urge you, please, to create some kind of transparency as you take that on so that we can all get together, look together, and make sure that we're on the right track. As people are noting, we're under threat right now, and this new administration isn't messing around. We need all of us, as strong as all of us can be, working together on the same path. So I urge you to please do that in good faith. Thank you.
That is all the hands I see, Carol.
There are people on the phone, maybe.
Nope.
Michael, there's no one else?
With a hand raised, correct.
Okay. Candace has
it. Oh, hey, hang on. Two just showed up. Oh, three showed up. There we go. Cheryl Davila?
Oh, Cheryl is a board member.
Oh, okay. This phone number 1832. Who is this?
I think that's Dan Woods.
You have 90 seconds.
Can you please identify yourself? Go ahead and call on them. And if we want to clarify that they are not a person in governance.
So this person with the phone number 1-832-968-1438, can you identify yourself, please?
Oh, yes, 1438. That's my number.
Can you identify yourself?
Governance?
No, not in governance.
Oh, good. Is this public comment time?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's public comment time, right?
90 yes, seconds. Yes.
Thanks.
Okay. This is Nancy Sabra-Anati Tomi from KPFT Houston, and I would like to make a comment. I think what KPFA LSB has made a mistake and needs to correct as soon as possible, because it's a question of democracy and justice. The suspension of Steve Zeltzer and Elizabeth Milos is not something that is in the bylaws, and it was not in it. Not letting them come to a meeting and participate is removal, and there was no removal. Removal takes 2/3 of the LSB, that's 16 votes out of 24, and there was no such thing. Yet you have suspended and not allowed them to even participate in a meeting. It's amazing. It's wrong. It's not democracy. Please correct this. It is so stinky political. And I think you don't want that anymore. You want to start out clean with a new year. Please put these two delegates correctly and
15 elected seconds.
By the membership back on the LSB. Thank you. Back to you.
Thank you, Nancy. Let's see. 832, was that Nancy?
Yeah, that was just it.
Okay, is that it, Michael?
It looks like Virginia Browning has her hand.
Is Virginia Browning?
The board member. We're in public defense.
And then the KPFA treasurer, Steve, is a board member.
Yeah, okay. So any other people wanting to make a statement for public comments who is not in governance? Hearing none, we will go ahead back. I believe that
Sheila has her hand up.
Oh, go ahead, Sheila.
Are we allowed to?
It will be 1 minute.
1 minute. Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'd like to agree with the previous speakers. You know, this is Pacifica. We're supposed to be for freedom of speech. And, you know, sadly, I've been watching
the bylaws being whittled away one by one in a, I think a kind of illegal way. You know, bylaws are supposed to be, aren't members supposed to have a chance to vote on bylaws, or are, isn't that like a big deal to change a bylaw where you don't just have a board meeting and boom, it's gone? You know, and to debate the issue of bylaws, you have to have free speech. You know, if this were an in-person meeting and you were to mute
15
somebody
seconds
and send them to the waiting room, that would be like throwing a black hood over their head and having somebody physically drag them out of the room and put them in the basement. So think about that. This is electronic, you know, dictatorship. It's really bad.
That's inflammatory language, Sheila, and we're going to ask you to speak respectfully in the future. Thank you. Time's up. Is there anyone else for public comment? All right. I do not see anyone. I believe that Candace has an announcement to make.
Going back to the KPFA building, they gave me credit. I forget who gave me credit, but I think Antonio. But it's not just me, but Carol and I have been working with the KPFA managers on a proposal to designate the KPFA building as a historic landmark. We've gathered 100 Berkeley residents to sign the petition. And we feel this effort helps build community awareness of KPFA, and it may help in protecting the building as a treasured architectural, cultural, and educational center, as well as a community radio media resource for future generations. So we're working hard on that and hope we can submit it shortly. That's it.
Thank you, Candace. And I had an announcement also that there will be elections at the next meeting for committees to the National Board. And it's my understanding that there will be an election for 2 local station board members to be on the audit committee and 2 local station board members to be on the governance committee. So you will be receiving information about those elections, and it is preferred that you do your nominations ahead of time so that we can enter them into the ballot ahead of time. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make? Raise your hand if you have an announcement that you would like to make.
Carol, can you see the gallery view now or no?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so on the list first is KPFA treasurer. That's Steve.
I don't have an announcement. I was going to speak after public comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
But isn't he a board member?
We're now in announcements. Public comments are over, and we're in announcements from board members.
But he does not have an announcement.
Oh, okay. Anybody else have an announcement?
Cheryl Davila is next.
My announcement is that you weren't allowed to ask any questions of the previous speakers, and I had a few. And
we're doing announcement. Do you have an announcement?
No.
Okay, thank you. Mara Rivera, next. Announcements?
This is just for board members now.
Oh.
Public comments is over. Anybody else, board members, have an announcement? Sherry Gendelman,
It looks like Donna Carter's next.
Okay, Donna Carter.
Okay, well, this isn't exactly an announcement, but it is a point about the It's an announcement about the historical preservation format for KPFA. I think it's a great idea. We Berkeley needs to be honored. I am a Berkeley resident. And in fact, there have been at least one, if not more, historical monuments where a big developer has come in and bought them out, and historical relevance was irrelevant. They were gone. So I think it's great if we get that, but I think you should be realistic about what's involved. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Virginia Browning, next.
I'd just like to say that I really do understand why some people are cynical about thinking they're being X'd out, because this board did X out two board members here. So I wish that people would be a little more generous with some order. Of the two members that are trying
your to... Your comment is not speak. An announcement. I'm I really... Wish the that chair would... this comment out of order. If you have an announcement, please make it. We also have another item on the agenda. And we'd like to get to that from Donna if we can. So please, if you do not have an announcement, take your hand down.
Okay, Cheryl Gunnelman, announcement, please.
Yes, my announcement is that I wanted to thank Antonio, Stephanie, and Susan Young for their reports and their helping to turn the station and the network into something that smacks of good health. That's an announcement.
Stan Wood, next announcement, please.
Yes, next Saturday, January 25th, there's going to be a memorial at the International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 10, Henry Smith Room, from 1 to 4 for Howard Keeler. Howard, for those who haven't heard him before, was a lifelong activist in the International Longshore and Warehouse Union. He played a key role in the boycott of South African cargo implemented by not first by RWU, but then internationally by from Rotterdam to Rangoon by longshore unions all over the world, in support of the struggle against apartheid. So I urge people to come, even if you haven't heard of the brother. You could look at it as a labor socialist educational in many ways. Once again, that's at IOW Local 10, Henry Smith Room, 400 North Point in San Francisco. And it's right by the streetcar line, and people are taking public transportation. If you're not, there's a large parking lot where people can come. And that's next Saturday, the 25th. And I also urge people to go to the probably huge anti-war, anti-Trump demonstration tomorrow in San Francisco, gathering at Civic Center Plaza at 1 p.m. Thank you.
Next, Rabab Abdul Hadi, announcements, please.
Yes. I don't have an announcement. I have a request from the
Do you have an announcement director. Or not?
I just want to ask the director to just send the program he shared with us, because I couldn't follow all the points, so I can communicate with him.
Okay. Oh, when you say director, you're talking about Stan Woods?
You're mute.
Dr. Abdul Hadi, are you talking about Stan Woods, his announcement? Yes,
you're on mute.
Send the information to Dr. Abdul Hadi.
Yes, I'll send it to anybody on the board. I'll be glad to.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
I think she's talking about Antonio's report.
The doctor is on mute.
She's Antonio's report, please.
Okay, thank you. All right, she used the word director, and
you're on mute, Dr. Rahab. You're on mute. No one hears you.
I just wanted, because I asked last time for a report, and he promised to share it with us, but he didn't. But he shared a lot of amazing programs. So I would just like all this upcoming stuff. I have a lot of other things to add, but I would like to.
Abdul Hadi, let me just share with you. Let me just please share with you that the report will also be posted. If you go to the website, kpfa.org, and you click on the top left, under more and you scan down, it's under general manager's reports, and all the general manager's reports are posted there. But we will also send it to the board when we get it. Thank you. Everyone in the station has been really frantic this past week supporting KPFK. We've all been working very hard on trying to get the news, and I think so we apologize for not being able to get everything out, and we apologize for the technical difficulties today. All right.
Carol, you stand here just real quickly. I haven't been getting the, what is it called, the closed list?
Yes.
Mailings. Would you make sure that I and everybody else is receiving that?
We were not able to transfer to the new secretary, so we are exploring the possibility of creating new lists. We've also had some serious problems with violations of confidentiality on those lists, so we are working with the national board to figure out how to have a way that people can communicate and receive the communications, but not have inappropriate statements on those email lists. So I again apologize for the transition, and we are working on this, and we'll hopefully have it resolved by the next meeting. So did anybody else have an announcement? Anthony Fest, do you have an announcement? We have another item on the agenda I'd like to get to if we can.
I'd like an election update before the clock strikes midnight on this meeting.
Oh, we will not have that because that's single transferable voting. That has to be calculated.
But when will you announce it?
We will send it out as soon as it's complete. And it will be in the next few days. And then, of course, the tally will go with the next minutes. Thank you. All right. Steve, did you have something else or?
It wasn't an announcement, but I did want to express appreciation for this morning's show, the Gospel Experience, April's show in these, rather troubling times. It was uplifting. It was, the right stuff at the right time. And I really enjoyed it. So it's just appreciation for the work that KPFA's music department's doing.
Good.
I
want to call on Richard Walensky. Richard,
very fast one. Charles Amerikanian is celebrating his 80th birthday tomorrow, and there's a big event in Berkeley. And I just want to he was the music director at KPFA for decades. And so a shout out to Charles and happy 80th birthday. That's all.
It's happening at the Brower Center, 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at the Brower Center.
Thank you. Richard, we did not get your vote.
No, you did.
Peter, can you confirm? Did you get it?
Yes, I've confirmed with him. We got it. That's why I let you, I sent you a chat that everything looks like all the votes are in.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your patience about the voting. And thank you to Peter and Roxy for your endurance. And I want to just say these are technical issues that are a challenge. I want to take a moment to say that in December of 2024, a motion was sent to an address that the KPFA officers did not see. And we apologize for that. The motion asks that the KPFA LSB discuss at the January meeting how the political climate with the upcoming administration with the FCC will affect its license and its response should HR 9594 be approved by Congress. We have been advised that while at this meeting it's a delegate assembly, we can't address new business. We can discuss the topics from the statement, and we will put it on the agenda for a future meeting. FCC discussions specifically about the KPFA license are in executive session, so we can create an executive session for the next meeting. Donna, we have 3 minutes left. I'd like to turn it over to you if you had something that you wanted to say about this.
Well, I was pleased that, for instance, Stephanie talked about the issue. There was a number of points made about it. I think it would be helpful for us to take a longer and bigger view of the whole issue. We'll know a little bit more next time we have a meeting about what's planned, maybe not, from the federal administration. So that's all I have to say right now. But I do think we could go deeper than what we have so far. That's it.
Thank you, Donna. And we did ask Stephanie to include that. And I did send out the statement from Pacifica to all the board members about the Pacifica statement on the upcoming administration. And I wanted to also mention those who did not see the minutes that the minutes were included in the email sent on Wednesday in the attachment. So the attachment had the minutes and as well as other the resolutions and the standing rules. So it's 12:59. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
There are many seconds.
If no objections to adjourn, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.